We'll call the meeting to order. It is 9:30. Commissioner Hansen and myself are present in the meeting room. Commissioner Feagin is on the line. We have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve the minutes.
Then move to approve the minutes of March 13th and March 27th meeting. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Consumer reports. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 74 contacts since the last report was prepared for the March 27, 2012 Commission meeting. 12 of the contacts involved telecommunication service, 18 contacts involved electric service, 5 contacts involved natural gas service, 6 contacts involved cell phone service, 13 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 1 contact was regarding wind energy, and 1 contact was related to the One Call, and 18 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. And 545 of the 560 complaints received in 2010 have been resolved. And we just have that one open in 2011, which we have a hearing on this Friday.
Very good. Questions? Seeing none. Thank you, Deb. For the first time in a long time, I think we're going to be able to go through our agenda as printed in order, and we're going to take the first 5 electric dockets, which are the territory agreements, as one lump sum unless we find a need to split them out. And with that, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. This is Ross Peterson for staff. These filings are part of the GIS project to verify all South Dakota Electric Service territory boundaries for input into the ArcMap software. The agreements do not change service provider to customers. However, I want to point out specific to EL-12-020, the Grand Faith Agreement. Staff and the parties filed an updated agreement last week in order to more accurately reflect what is shown on the legal description. If you want to refer to Exhibit B, page 1, and you'll see Track 6 more clearly identified in order to coincide with the legal description, Exhibit A. And as such, staff requests approval of all of the electric service territory agreements, and staff is available for questions.
Thank you. Any of the individuals on the telephone line from the affected utilities want to add anything?
Nothing further from Grand Electric, Commissioner.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? I guess the one question that I've got in EL-12-023, I know it's been brought to your attention, Ross, that on, I think, map pages 10 and 11, there's some references that don't seem to make sense in some of the township and ranges for a few of the sections. Can you help us out with that?
Staff looked into that, and I think, unfortunately, we do not have any control over that because the way the ArcMap software is used. We import layers that are created by other companies or bureaus, and that was actually Public Land Survey System that created those layers. And so the best I could do in that situation, as far as I know, to my knowledge, is just to not label the layers. So if there was ever a discrepancy, I guess we would just have to have that noted, and I can put that in the file for future reference. Otherwise, one thing I've thought about looking into is calling the Public Land Survey folks and seeing if it is a mistake for sure, and if we can somehow fix it, because I've actually talked to someone who is one of the GIS coordinators for the state who kind of works with it. His name's Tim Tieford, and he tends to help out with GIS specific to ArcMap, the projects and layers and doing edits, and he was unaware of how to fix that without just simply taking off the label. So if he wants, you know, to be specific, that's about as best as I could do right now.
Well, I'll say a couple of things. I've seen at least one map that shows those sections with what we believe is the correct designation. And since the purpose of this whole project is to make sure that we are perfect in this for perpetuity, I'm very uncomfortable with going ahead with these inaccurate references on here. And I'm also uncomfortable just taking them off, too, because our whole purpose here is to get it right. And it would seem to me if these are being imported and they're incorrect, you've got to be able to work with the company and say, hey, you got a problem here. Your product is faulty. We need to get this corrected somehow. So I guess in this particular docket, I'm not prepared to approve it today, and I would encourage you to, you know, get with whoever to determine what the exact correct numbers are and then how you get that into your system. Other questions? Commissioner Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ross, did Cherry Todd or West Central have anything to say in regard to that?
To my knowledge, I think that they were under the assumption that it was accurate, and as is why I was mistaken, so I don't think that they never brought it up, so I just assumed that they were in agreement on that as far as that was concerned.
There probably needs to be some further discourse with them as well.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, I guess, you know, one thought I had is, you know, maybe it wouldn't hurt to just call the Register of Deeds down there, you know, and ask them what they think. And in terms of description, if we just wanted to get the description so we know it's accurate, I guess, is there a reason we couldn't just, instead of referencing that section, which is kind of a difficult one to locate anyway, maybe just reference the Todd Tripp County line? You know, that's another possibility in terms of legal description, I would think. But, you know, maybe there's a reason for not doing that. But it appears to precisely track the section boundaries there. But.
And that's another thing. As far as one thing that we've noticed, too, in doing this project is, compared to that of the 1976 maps, the accuracy, just comparing to the terrain and you also compare to the section lines, they're not as fluent as, say, just following the rivers. That's one thing that tends to be one of the common trends, is it's not as accurate, like if you're following the county line. For example, in some of the 1976 maps, the county line follows the river. However, if you look at statute, it says follows the center of the main channel. However, the main channel has shifted since 1976 due to natural, you know, changes of terrain. And therefore, we tried to adjust that and make sure that the companies know that. So that's just one thing in mind, is when comparing to the 1976 maps, it's very difficult to say that they are still accurate today when it comes to just basic terrain features as well. Now, this section and township, that's a little different story. It's a little more difficult with the label being incorrect, whereas if you're just following the boundary and it doesn't necessarily tie in or match directly on with the curvature of the county line, the section lines, you probably notice, are more polygon type rather than fluent with the river. So,
other commissioner questions?
Commissioner Nelson?
Yes.
I would like to follow up on what Commissioner Hansen asked Ross, and that was if the parties were in agreement and if they were notified, and Ross said something about assuming everything was okay. Ross, can you just tell me about the procedure when there's a discrepancy or there's an issue that we have? Do we normally just assume if they don't get back to us, or do we normally call them and let them know there might be an issue?
If the issue is known, I try to get in touch with them and let them know, kind of like we did with the McLaughlin one previously. Once an error was discovered, we contacted them immediately, same as we did with this Grand Faith one. We found that it wasn't as accurate as we would have liked, and asked them to, we updated an agreement and also the legal description and the maps, and had them sign it, and they responded quickly. So once an error or an issue is brought to our attention one way or the other, I'd contact both utilities and ask them, you know, this, or let them know what our plan is, and see if they have any input and if they have any changes. And that's kind of been the process the whole way. For example, Graham was a major contributor in just the agreement wording itself. We would submit a draft, and if they had any issues with it or someone else thought that certain wording needed to be into it, for whether it's legal or simplistic purposes, we would add that into it and make sure that both utilities are in agreement on what we're providing or what we're submitting for a draft. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Did I mishear you then when you said to Commissioner Hansen that the parties didn't get back to you, so you assumed everything was okay, or did I just mishear you?
No, Commissioner, we actually didn't get this addressed to the utilities because I was unaware until too late and hadn't gotten a chance to get to this specific docket to notify them. And I was still following up to confirm the accuracy and try and get in touch with other departments, and Tim Tieffert, I was trying to get in touch with him as well, the GIS ArcMap, if you want to call it guru. He kind of helps out with any just program changes or edits, not specific necessarily to the territory. So I was still trying to follow up and get questions answered as far as that was concerned. And the assumption was made that I thought that the utilities, being they had reviewed it and we had staff review it, that we, being no one thought there was an issue until, you know, almost last minute, if you want, not quite last minute, but until recently.
So when did you know about?
Probably within the last couple days.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Chair, could I ask a question while you're working there?
Certainly.
Okay. Ross, on item number 3, when we approve that one, is there something we need to stipulate? You had mentioned your supplemental filing, and just wondering if we need to, if there's some verbiage there that we need to add. That the commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreement according to the supplemental filing. Is that what we need to do there? Because Karen, did you? Ms. Semler.
I think that's correct. That's the most current, correct agreement. So it should be
okay.
Pursuant to that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move that the commission approve EL 12-018, EL 12-019, EL 12-020 with the most recently filed agreement, and EL 12-022. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries.
Commissioner Nelson?
Yes.
If there are issues with things they're still trying to resolve, if they could just ask the commission to defer those, that would be great.
I think that would be appropriate. Thank you. We'll move on to EL 12-027 in the matter of the petition of Otter Tail Power Company to establish an environmental quality cost recovery tariff. Mr. Thurber or Ms. Kramer?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. As noted in the agenda, Otter Tail Power has filed for approval of an environmental quality cost recovery tariff. Pursuant to SDCL 49188, staff is requesting the commission to assess a filing fee of up to $50,000, and also then staff is also requesting the commission to give the executive director authority to enter into necessary consulting contracts in this matter.
Thank you. Otter Tail, Mr. Gerhardsen, anything to add?
Nothing to add, only that Otter Tail has no objection to the request. We're here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Hansen, question?
No, I was pointing up that I was going to give Commissioner Feagin an opportunity to make the motion issue. Excuse me.
Go ahead, Commissioner Hanson.
Thank you, Commissioner. In docket EL-12-027, I will move that the Commission assess filing fee in the amount of $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in review of the filing commencing from the filing date, and that the Commission give the Executive Director authority to enter the necessary consulting contracts.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We will move on to telecommunications, TC-12-017, in the matter of the filing by AT&T Communications of the Midwest for approval of its access services and network interconnection services tariff. Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This tariff filing was made pursuant to a recent FCC order, and staff believes it is in compliance with said order and recommends the Commission approve it as filed with the effective date as filed. And I know Juanita is on the line if you have any questions.
Ms. Brown, anything to add?
I have nothing to add. However, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Questions from the Commission? Elaine.
I just had a question on your page 22.4, and this is really just for my own information, but I noticed that you had two different formulas for when you're talking about calculations based on actual call detail records as compared to when they're not based on actual call detail records. And I was just wondering if you had any general explanation as to why you use those two formulas as opposed to the one.
The reason for two formulas is because the various companies will have various sets of data, and so for those companies that do not have the specific data, we were giving the option of another method to perform the calculations. It's really a matter of whether companies have the data to do the calculations, and if not, then they would use the other one.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC-12-017, move that the Commission approve the tariff changes.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Last item on the agenda, TC-12-026, in the matter of the filing by 360 Networks USA, Inc. for approval of its access services tariff number one. Mr. Dugard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Chris Dugard for staff. This tariff amendment adds more detail to the process by which 360 Networks determines the traffic applicable to the VoIP PSTN provisions of its tariff. 360 previously implemented the VoIP PSTN provisions in an earlier docket, TC-11-096, but is adding more detail in this docket. That docket closed on January 30th of this year and had an effective date right around the 1st of this year. Staff has reviewed the filing, believes it to be compliant with the VoIP PSTN provisions of the recent FCC order, and we recommend approval of the tariff effective as filed.
Thank you. Mr. Isar, anything to add?
No comments. Well, other than the company felt following discussions with at least one incumbent local exchange carrier and review of its own operations, that it would be preferable to have a more detailed description of how the traffic is calculated. So this led to the filing of the additional information.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Chairman, in TC-12-026, move that the Commission approve the tariff revision.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor vote aye. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Just two announcements of a couple imminent things. We will have a hearing in docket CN 11-001 Friday morning, April 13th, beginning at 10 o'clock Central Time. We will be located in Sioux Falls at the University Center and simultaneously in room 414 via DDN hookup. And next regular commission meeting, April 24th. Is there a motion to adjourn? Mr. Hansen.
Move to adjourn.
And all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.